Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 335, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist,
production of iHeartRadio. Oh.
Okay, this is Bill. A podcast where we take a deep dive into Mary's share consciousness, and it is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
42424.
42424. Guess what, folks? It's National Bucket List Day, so why don't you cross something off that list? The image that is here to support the day looks very confusing. It has like a sphinx and then what looks like an airline, like someone hijacked a plane. Whatever. Look, do something that you've always wanted to do. Stop Food Waste Day, National Pigs in a Blanket Day, and shout out to all the administrative professionals because it's your day. National Administrative
National Administrative Officials Day?
Professionals?
Okay. Yeah.
The people who do the real work for management, I think is there really what we're saying there. Yeah.
Shout out to them.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say about my bucket list is swish. I get buckets on my bucket list. I'm just getting buckets off of my bucket list.
Yeah, we both crossed some off on our bucket list. We wanted both of our respective NBA teams to lose in the most dramatically disgusting way possible. And we did it, folks.
We did it.
Crossed that off the list.
Congratulations.
Anyway,
to us.
Nuggets in four.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Soma, is what they will take when solar eclipse happens. Ooh. Matt Leap, he is coming. That is courtesy of My Virgo Moon, in reference to our eclipse app, where we were talking about, I don't think I can remember the name of the drug, but Soma is what the Greeks, how they got down and partied. Yeah.
Somas are pills.
They're still pills?
I mean, I remember somas from high school.
Oh, shit.
It's a muscle relaxer, if I recall correctly, from my high school pharmaceutical days.
I wonder if that's just like a pharmaceutical company like used that name, like trademarked that name.
Must have.
Or if it has something in common with the old ancient Greek psychedelic.
They still make them.
Yeah,
they still make them?
They still make them.
Under the generic name, Carissa Prodol.
I can get you some.
Soma.
You need
who's that?
Some.
Who the fuck is that?
joined by a drug dealer who hangs out outside of middle school.
How many somas you need, Jack?
This dude's still selling somas? What is it, 98?
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I'm no AKA, the former Catholic school street pharmacist, Lord of Lancashire, the Shogun with no gun, Miles Gray, AKA for a Subway tuna that'll taste just fine, stuff it full of turtles and save some time. Shout out Lockeroni for that one. You know, I'm my love with Subway tuna. Might have turtles in it, might have yoga mat in it, doesn't matter. But we still love it, don't we, folks? We do.
Yeah, we do. It's all about the texture. It doesn't matter if the texture comes from yoga mats.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. There's enough mayo in it.
Miles, yes. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of our favorite middle school drug dealers, a hilarious stand-up comedian, actor, musician. You can listen to his podcast, Cold Brew Got Me, like anywhere fine podcasts are given away for free. His book, The Vice King Anthology, available anywhere. Fine books are sold.
Yeah.
The poetry window is open because it's Chris motherfucking Crofton.
Chris motherfucking Crofton.
What's up?
Hey.
I got my AKA since nobody gives me any. Last time, Miles, you missed that. Just recently, I had, you know, I make up my own AKAs now.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Go off, so, baby. Like,
and she's buying the stairway to Chris Crofton.
Want a whole lot of Chris Crofton? Want a whole lot of Chris Crofton?
There we go.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
Beautiful.
Go to your local guitar shop.
One more for you.
Intro.
I got one more for you. Just because Miles is back. I haven't done a show with Miles in a while. Uh-huh. Give him a special one.
Okay.
I've been through the desert on a horse named Chris Crofton. There you go.
Cold
I think that, those
brew,
are the original lyrics cold brew, cold before brew, some studio brew. Notes.
Cold yeah. Yeah. Brew. So, like, I got an AKA. So no one gives me any, but there you go.
There they are. They're beautiful. Well, it's not like you're a poet and songwriter, singer-songwriter. So,
right. Yeah. You know? I almost forgot. Thank you for pointing that out.
I'm not a big Neil Young guy, but that is the one Neil Young song that I really like.
If Miles.
I figured this is the duo to be like, hey guys, actually, I've never smoked Neil Young before. What do you guys do?
It's even worse than that. It's not fucking Neil Young. It's goddamn America, the band America.
It's a sound alike. It's very, I'm very forgiving of that.
Miles is like, let's start the show over.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that that shows you how little I fuck with Neil Young, because then I'm like, that one Neil Young song, that ain't a Neil Young song.
That one. No, that one is actually good. You don't like Harvest Moon?
Oh, come on, man. That's the best.
I definitely thought that was a Neil Young song for most of my childhood, but I'm not a child anymore, am I, Miles?
Okay, no, hold on, Leah. Let me play some rap music. I can turn the fucking tables on y'all. Let's see what the fuck y'all know. No, what's up with that? But yeah, no, that's so funny. Wait, so this is a thing that people at the time, was it meant to be like, hey, let's kind of fucking ride the Neil Young wave to the charts?
Yeah, I think
it's like
they were
blatant, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think they were basically like, you know, that Neil Young fuck is a Canadian. Well, we're America.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Right.
And we're going to sing Neil Young songs for Americans.
Holy
yeah. You
want
to know all
Why
you need to know.
Did I Go think ahead. It was Neil Young? Just because it sounds like Neil Young?
He's got a
yeah,
high
it sounds
voice.
Exactly
yeah.
like Neil Young.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm like, am I that fucking off? Like,
you're going to take all this like, out, aren't you, Miles?
No, hell no. I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
He's
I don't stand on my fucking pride
Miles
over
has never
Neil
been
Young.
Wrong about anything in a final cut of the episode. They're going to actually edit it. So I said that it was
yeah.
Neil Young.
Oh, and then AI like, oh my God, Jack, you didn't know it was America?
He's going to insert it. Yeah, you should totally do that on purpose.
I love that Neil Young song.
Yeah.
I've always thought that.
They is my favorite band.
I'm a child.
But yeah,
did you also
sense.
Think that? Did you also think the Steelers Wheel song, the clown to the left, the joker to the right, was Bob Dylan?
Oh, I never had an. I think if you asked me and you played it, I would have probably said that. Yeah. Too,
so they
probably.
Were actually making fun of Bob Dylan when they recorded that song.
Oh, I love that.
And it's like their only hit. They're like, hey, Bob Dylan, this is you. This is what you sound like, idiot. And then
straight
people
to
are
the
like,
top.
This is your only good song, man. Sorry.
Fuck.
Anyways.
Shit.
America was a band that fucking, what's his name? George Martin produced after the Beatles.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. I don't know why, though. I've wondered about America. Like, I don't think anyone... Well, what do I know? Maybe people did accuse them of being a Neil Young knockoff, but I could see where you'd think that was a Neil Young song. And I don't know why George Martin really got involved with them. They're a good band, but I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Is it because they were UK-based? Because even though they're American, because they were all, I'm reading, they were all Air Force brats in England, and that's how they met.
Oh, shit.
I don't know, but I just know that all you need to know about the boomers and having a wide open economy compared to now is you could name your band America.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That was available.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
They're just all the good so names easy. To take in. Yeah.
So I named my band America. We had a smash single. I was able to use that money to buy the entire state of Kentucky. And real estate was cheap. And now I'm basically royalty.
What's your band called? Chicago? What about you? Boston?
Boston? Yeah.
That's what you need. That's fucking talk about privilege. Now kids got to name their bands like Capital, all capitals. You know, Jabba, Jabbawocky,
One B,
like, Jabba, nuts. Jabba.
And what's Jabba? He's a singer songwriter.
Yeah,
sounds like Neil Young.
Yeah,
yeah, but he and just like Jabba
doesn't
Hutt.
Have any of the vowels in it.
Except he's called Jabba.
Yeah,
how can you have the name Jabba with no vowels? That's kind of fucking wild.
That's
it's just J B, and you're like, it's pronounced Jabba, bruh.
And what kind of music do you do? That sounds like John Denver.
Yeah. Pretty much
John Denver, another person who named themselves after a come on.
Wow.
That guy.
Yep.
The economy was wide open. Hey, you want to dig a gold mine or name your band America? Either one's open. Yeah, there's a gold mine right there. Or
I don't know who owns that land. Go ahead, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just not sure. We didn't check the records, but go for it. I don't see anyone there right now.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
And if they're not, no take-backsies.
No take-backsies. Chris, we're thrilled to have you here. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell the listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. There's a new theory coming out of the right about what's going on with Donald Trump at his trial, why he keep going to sleep and all that stuff.
Allegedly falling asleep.
Allegedly. That's 100% fake news. So we're going to talk about that. It feels like they're trying a tactic that was used by the mafia for many years whenever they would stand trial. So we'll talk about that. And NASA's Voyager 1 probe has finally been unscrambled. It started making sense again. It stopped making sense like the talking heads. It's making sense again.
All right, good.
So that's good. I just want to make as many late 70s, early 80s music references as I possibly can.
Please.
All right. But before we get to any of that shit, Chris Crofton, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Well, I'm going to change it up. I'm going to tell you what.
Thank
something,
you.
Something real. I'm going to tell you something like, well, not real, but you know, I'm not going to tell you about like a Hugh Manzi documentary or.
Oh,
you know,
come on.
Right. But, you know, you should still check that out. I've been Googling pulmonary nodule ever since I broke my shoulder in January. I broke my shoulder in January on the ice. And then when they x-rayed it, they found, well, they thought it was a bruise on my lung from like when I hit the steps. I slipped on my front steps. Yeah. And one stair broke my rib and the other stair broke my shoulder. And when they did the x-ray, you know, so I was like, the doctor gave me morphine and he said, you don't need surgery. And then he asked me why I was in a good mood. I think I've been through this with you guys. I don't know. But he asked me why I was in he said, I don't understand your affect.
He's like, you seem,
he was like, you seem too happy or something.
What, he's like an AI powered medical bot? I do not understand your affect.
Was it because you were on morphine?
That's what I told him. I said, well, you gave me morphine. And also just, this isn't like, I broke my hip in 2018 and that was fucking. So this is not a broken hip. So I'm already in a decent, like I'm walking around, you know, my arm's in a sling, but who cares compared to that? Anyway, so then he's like, oh yeah, and by the way, we found this pulmonary nodule. And then all of a sudden everything went, you know, I was like, oh God, what the hell's that? You know, you hear pulmonary, you don't want to hear pulmonary ever. You don't want to hear pulmonary.
Yeah,
no.
So then like, he was like, oh, well, they're normally, you know, it might be nothing. You have a 13 millimeter pulmonary nodule. It's just like a little growth in your lung and you should have it checked. So then I was like, spun out for like a couple days and then but I couldn't get an appointment with a pulmonologist until at first they offered May. Fuck, so I was like, well, and then they found a person who could see me in March, so that still gave me a couple months, so I just
spin out.
But I did forget about it eventually because I googled it and it was like most pulmonary nodules, 85% of them are nothing, scar tissue from previous illnesses or whatever it is, but you usually non-malignant, but they prefer to be the non-malignant ones. Like you're looking at hopefully 5 millimeters, 8 millimeters, 13 was a little big, but still it was like, most of these are nothing. So I kind of put it out of my mind because it was a couple months and I really did, which is a testament to like fucking therapy and Zoloft. Cause it was the old days. Like if it was when I was younger, before I addressed my real anxiety that, or right. I don't know. Anyway, I would have worried nonstop for those whole 2 months. Sure. So the fact that I was even able to go back to my regular life was kind of nice. And then when I went and went to the doctor, he said, yeah, you have a 13 millimeter thing and we got to look at it, you know, cause it's kind of big, you know, it's not huge, but he's like, we got to look at it. So you're going to do a PET scan. So a PET scan is like, you know, it's a cancer. Generally it's a cancer test to see if like sort of nodules and things are active. Like you want it to be dead. You want it to be scar tissue. You want it to be not active.
Right. Right.
So I go and get the PET scan and they put dye in your arm and stuff. And I don't mind that stuff because like I wasn't parented properly. So like when I'm at the doctor, I feel like I'm finally like getting some, I really do. You guys are laughing too hard at that. That's too hard to laugh at that. Miles, you're not supposed to laugh that hard at that.
It's just too real, dude. We were just talking before. I was like, dude, Chris, you're going to fucking say some bummer shit. But I'm sorry, it got too real again.
I led into this.
It's my nervous response.
Miles, like I was telling Miles beforehand. Yeah, this has been a couple months for me. It really has. It's been the worst few months of my life.
Oh my God.
I am so happy now, though. I mean, I got through it.
And so then they did the scan, and then they're like, you're all clear.
No. That's why I'm going through the scary version. So I go to get the PET scan. And I feel great because I like people like touching me and stuff, you know, like putting things in my arms.
I do too. Like I will get a haircut just to have somebody touch
me. Yeah, it feels good. There's something really wrong about that. See, Miles looks like he was parented correctly. That's because he's so Miles confused right now.
Fucking squinting and really yucking my yum on this one.
I was never touched.
I didn't know. Jack, I would be so much more affectionate with you in person. Oh man. You know what I mean?
I love giving
you a little between the shoulder blades rub.
Have like a little tap. A little, hey.
Because every time I hug Jack, he releases the hug first. That's how I know. I'm like, definitely. Come on, baby, stay with me.
I thought you were going to say, I release a black dye that forms a cloud around me. And then
I'm blinded momentarily. Then I retreat. What the fuck was that?
Every time I hug Jack, he releases a cloud of black dye.
Miles, are you breaking into aquariums again? No, that's what it is. All right, Chris.
That's like hugging an Irish person. Like they've never been touched till they went to the barber.
Yeah, we freeze.
You go to the barber. Yeah, the first time you're ever touched, you go to the barber. I went to a barber once. You ever gone to a barber where they give you the whole treatment with the hot towel and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And then like an Irish guy doesn't know what to do. You know, I'm like, am I supposed to be able to moan? Am I supposed to go?
I think this barber is in love with me.
Yeah, I'm like, daddy.
Dude, here this fool goes again. He's probably gonna go to the barber and be like, yo, this barber's down to fucking go out with me. I'm pretty sure.
Barber's down to fuck.
Barber said I was different than the other customers that come in here every night.
Barber's down to fuck, but I never come. I was talking to Miles before this, or just about a time on the show, and I
said, "Don't even clarify, Chris. Right,
it doesn't
just
matter.
Let those hang
doesn't make
in the air."
Anyway, for the people. Yeah. Let's clarify one thing.
PET scans.
Anyway, so I got back to PET scans. So I got the results sent to me in a portal.
Yeah. Right.
Before
the
doctor looked at them. So like I look in the portal and I've got the labs, but I'm not a doctor. So I'm like, well, they wouldn't have sent them to me if they were bad. They wouldn't send me bad news for me to look at before the doctor, would they? Well, yeah, they would. So it says active, it says activity, it says concerning, it says all this horrible stuff. So that's when oh my God. Then the doctor calls me the next day and he's like, yeah, there's two things lit up. The nodule lit up and the lymph node nearby lit up. So I'm like, okay, I'm dead. You know, but he was like, this is not necessarily cancer. Yeah. He's like, cancer is one of the things it could be, but there's a lot of other things it could be, but we're going to do a bronchoscopy. So 2 weeks ago, 2 days before I was on the show, I had the bronchoscopy. And the reason I was in a good enough mood
before
show,
you were on the show last.
Yeah. The wow. two days before.
The Blake episode.
Two days before.
Okay.
Chris,
but
Blake
I had just gotten good news in the sense that they did the bronchoscopy, which is a big deal. Full anesthesia.
Wow.
Intubated.
Oh, wow.
Needle down the throat with a camera to take it. They took a biopsy of the lymph node and the nodule. But then when I was in recovery, the doctor said, like, right after I woke up, the doctor comes in and talks to you, which is insane by itself. Cause I'm like, I don't know what he said. I think he's
intubated
too,
right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. You're like,
So he's like, he said, your lungs look fine. He's like, they look good. because I told him I used to smoke a lot.
Right.
He's like, they look really fine. He said, and what I saw did not look like cancer to me. And then everyone said, oh, if they said that, that means that it's probably not, because they would not say that. They're like, doctors don't say. So I felt much better, and that's why I was able to do the show. And then and then on Monday they called me last Monday. So like whatever it was. What day is today? I don't even know.
Yeah. It was the 15th.
Tuesday or whatever. What day is today?
Friday? It was tax day last Monday.
Yeah. So like that day I got a call and they said, you don't have cancer.
Oh.
Hey. Chris,
fuck, dude. That's heavy, man.
And they said I didn't need anything. They said what you have is histoplasmosis, which then I Googled that. So first I've been Googling pulmonary nodule over and over and watching YouTube videos about pulmonary nodules, which turns out there's shit tons of them.
Yeah,
of course. And you're going to find them and watch all of them. And I'm sure that didn't help it.
That's all I watched. I went from abandoned mines to pulmonary nodules in a flash. and then I went to histoplasmosis, which is something from like the environment, like an allergen that turns into a little infection. And they said, you don't need to do anything. But then I went from thinking I had cancer to nothing. Like, you don't need to do anything. You're fine. And then I just like went felt kind of insane.
Yeah.
Oh man. That's
anyway. So easy. I'm all better. And just to say, like, if you're over 50 and God forbid, and I
wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
I mean, you know, and I'm a hair over 50. I mean, you know, 55, but you know, that's just
that's a hair.
That's a little
we're rounding down.
It's a couple hairs.
Yeah, it's not that far into them. And then, you should probably get an X-ray or a CAT scan. You're supposed to get a CAT scan every year. No one knows that shit. No one will do it. But if you used to smoke, the thing is, this is the way they find lung cancer. So I would have been lucky.
Right.
Because lungs don't have nerve endings in them. I did not know that. So when you get lung cancer, the reason they find it's usually stage four is because that's when you start
actually feel
affecting other
coughing,
systems,
you can't breathe, whatever, that stuff. But most lung cancer they catch early is through these other events, like breaking your shoulder. So, you know, no one's just in general, like if you're over 50 and you used to smoke a lot, you might want to get an occasional CAT scan, which of course, you know, if you have an extra couple $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have a built-in one, so I'll just start doing them more often.
We need to do home CAT scans. These things do not look like complicated. My brother said, you look at those machines, he's like, you know they're paid for.
Have you seen, I just saw a video recently of one that was outside of like its shielding, firing up, and you're
really?
Oh my God, the amount.
It's like a transformer, like transforming in a Michael Bay film.
And once that shit really starts rotating, you're like, holy shit, dude, this thing looks like it has like the power to move Earth.
Oh, so it's worth the money.
I mean, depending. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you're making money on this thing.
I looked at it when I was in there. And, you know, of course, when you're in there, they're like, we're just going to do one more CAT scan. And you're like, you know, like, are you sure? Like, how much does it cost? They should have a thing like on a gas thing where you can see the money
going up.
Yeah. Every rotation.
You're not giving me another CAT scan. I don't care what I got.
Yeah.
There was when I went to the Kentucky Derby one time, there was a house, just like a private house, that had an ATM machine in its yard right by the thing. And I've always, that changed the way I like thought. I was like, what if like you could just like open a private shop, like, or a private like ATM, whatever you wanted? Like, what if you could just have a CAT scan at your house that like people were like, oh yeah, you go by this dude's house and get your lungs checked
out.
It's
like, he's not a tech, so he can't make sense of it, but he will send it to a doctor.
Right.
Or he'll send it to you.
Yeah.
In a portal and you can look at it.
Holy shit.
It's in his backyard.
Look at this thing fucking go. This is a CAT scan machine firing up, like uncovered.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's like barely getting fired up now.
What does it look like, Jack?
It looks like the Large Hadron Collider. Like what I imagine the Large Hadron Collider looks like.
Looks like the inside's completely full of clock radios.
Yeah, and looks like a window AC unit or something. Yeah,
they put a bunch of decommissioned clock radios in a fucking donut.
And those translucent corded telephones that
it doesn't look that complicated.
But we're surrounded by technological miracles and we're just like, could you make it quieter? It's too loud.
Jack
it's kind
O'Brien's,
of annoying to me.
Jack O'Brien's smog tests. CAT scans, ATM, keys
and
made.
Legal, right. And legal services.
And keys
and
made.
And legal services.
Legal services, keys made, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that there is that one service, the people who, like, witness you sign a document, notary public. Like, that one is just, like, a dude who walks around with some papers and, like, pulls up to your house, you know? So, like, I feel like...
Yeah, that's a bullshit job.
I feel like we
job.
Should have more of that stuff. Yeah, that's a great bullshit job.
Fucking notaries.
Yeah.
They make good money, though, shit.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Let's take a quick break.
Think you're better
and...
than me notarizing shit?
I wonder how often they're just asked repeatedly by people. Oh, you think you're better than me? What, like because parties? Now I signed this in front of you, it means something?
Or they get drunk at parties and like people are like, can you notarize this? And they're like, I'm not really supposed to.
The notary's like, I mean, to be fair, without my stamp, this isn't going to be an authenticated legal document. I go, oh, so you're a tough guy, huh?
We got him real drunk.
Oh, wow, but to choke you out. Choked out the notary.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. Could just be
a
me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back.
We're back.
And Chris Crofton, we do like to ask our guests if there's something you think is underrated.
Yes, I think it's underrated. There's a couple things that are underrated. First of all, it's underrated that more people aren't talking about the fact that I'm going on a short tour with Neil Hamburger in May.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Which is why I wanted to, well, I asked Justin or Victor if I could come on the show so I could talk about it. And this is the good news that you're looking for, Miles.
Yes, please.
Out of me,
I love this.
Because I
don't want to laugh at your misfortune. In a
I know. Way. I really have. I've talked about it a bunch on Cold Brew Got Me. It's made it an interesting show, but it is like a little bit darker than usual. You know, it's not about Bigfoot as much.
Right. Yeah.
Partially. It's not all Bigfoot. It's not all Bigfoot and Billy Squire.
Right.
Like
right.
Normal.
Drop the big beat. That's Billy Squire, right?
That is Billy Squire.
Yeah, they're not.
That's Neil Young.
Because that's a hip hop sample. Yeah, it's Neil Young.
That's a Neil Young joint, if I've ever heard one.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, shit, Neil.
So Neil Hamburger and me are going to, I can't remember that. I can't find the damn site, but
your own dates.
I can't find the stupid, and that's the whole reason I'm like, I scheduled the show so I could be like, yeah, no, fuck it. I'm not going to promote it. So Wednesday, May 15th in Sioux Falls at Icon
Event. At the Icon Event Hall.
Yes.
Certainly. Wow.
Oh, you already, do you know what that is?
I'm just looking at
you're the making that tour. Up. Okay.
Yeah.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin, the Plus on the 16th. On the 17th, Milwaukee at the Laughing Tap. And St. Paul on the 18th at the Turf Club. And I think one of those nights, like I think the St. Paul one, maybe we're doing two shows that night.
Cool.
So that's super exciting. And I'm going to book a show here in town, you know, I haven't done stand up in a while and I really like it, you know?
Yeah.
And every time I do shows, I feel better. So, I mean, just in light of these last few months, because, you know, Miles, you know, my mom got bitten by the cat, right? No. Okay. Did I talk about that on the last show, Jack?
I don't think so. Your mom got bitten by the cat?
I think we know her mother got bit by a cat.
Okay. No. And she almost died.
What? And
so for the month before this pulmonary nodule, for a whole month, my mother was in the hospital. A month. Three hospitals. God. And I took her. We all took her from hospital to hospital because of this healthcare system is just deranged. And every time a doctor leaves the room, another doctor comes in who doesn't know anything about anything and just says, so what's going on in here? That happens like over and over all day long. Just new people come in and go, well, it looks like, why is your mom here? She looks fine. And you're like, well, because of this. And they're like, oh, shit, good thing she's here. And then they're like, see you later. And someone else comes in.
Oh, shit, hey, why are you here? Your mom looks fine.
It's fucking crazy. And I think it's because, and this happens in the business world now, you guys might know, I don't know if iHeart has this thing where you don't put things in notes, like you don't write things down for legal reasons. So doctors don't, since doctors are sort of like independent contractors, they don't want to leave
a paper trail.
Yeah. Basically. So they won't communicate because they don't want to put anything in writing. Because if they have it in writing and they misdiagnose, then it's. So I think fear of lawsuits basically has made it this really surreal experience to be in the hospital because you're not getting all the information and you don't know why. And you don't know why people aren't communicating. Anyway. So my mom almost died from her own cat biting her. And she's back home.
There was an infection that came.
Oh, my God.
Because of the cat bite.
We should have just made this whole show. Yeah, I should have, from the top, everything should have been underrated cat bites, overrated cat bites, internet search cat bites. The cat,
that's
cats
crazy.
have crazy bacteria in them.
Yeah, right.
Just in there, just exotic. They're animals, you know, I guess. You know, they have just different kind of bacteria than we have. We have bacteria in our stomachs and stuff. They have kind of wild bacteria, you know, or wild compared to ours. You know, whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know. He just got hung up in some loop where he just kept saying wild bacteria. And then the show ended. They said they ended the show early. And then I don't know what happened.
The only thing I learned was that Jack didn't know that Horse With No Name wasn't a Neil Young song. That's all we got out of that episode.
There you go. Oh, my God. I like that.
Oh, but
that's
like
going to be crazy in the editing, though, Miles, what you just said.
No, I don't give a shit. I know. I want to isolate it. Maybe it was just the only thing they'll know. It'll be a fucking 10-minute episode where I'm like, that shit not Neil Young? Wait, so anyway, the wild-ass bacteria.
By the way, Miles and I have such a brain fuse that I was about to mention that song was confused with a Neil Young song frequently by people before he mentioned that he thought that
was a Neil Young song.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
So we complete each other.
Yep.
You guys have completed each other on Zoom.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about how long, like we were talking about somehow loneliness was, I don't know where, like,
no, we're talking about the cat bite, Chris.
I thought we were talking about loneliness.
In a second.
so the cat bite, anyway, just if you get bitten by your cat,
get it checked
severely
out.
Especially on a joint. If they really bite you, not a scratch, like, you know, scratches are, you might get infected, but this is, if a cat really penetrates, their fangs are like, they really inject their bacteria deep in there. And then if you don't get it looked at, it became something very serious. We waited 3 days before she went to the hospital. She felt okay. And then her foot was swollen and she couldn't walk. And so she had to go to the hospital, and then it was just intravenous antibiotics and them just like sort of shooting in the dark at what intravenous antibiotic was going to work. And each intravenous antibiotics give you like really bad stomach problems. And
yeah,
it's just it's just a really bad thing. My mom's 82, so it's just like you don't want get bitten by your cat, you know, just get it looked at. That's all. If it's a serious bite. Yeah. But anyway, I'm going on tour with Neil Hamburger.
All right.
So that's all behind me.
Tour is underrated. And
my mom's back home. My mom's back
home. That's great to hear.
And what's overrated is...
Right, overrated. Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I had a few things here.
Just a few?
The overrated is Coachella.
Uh-huh. Oh, come on, man. You weren't you obviously weren't in the house tent.
All right, let me do a different one then.
The house
tent. No, I'm just joking.
kind of cop.
The house music tent.
Cop-ass response is that. You weren't in the house tent.
You clearly weren't in the house tent, man. That shit was awesome.
You weren't in Gobi or Mojave, my guy?
I don't even know what it is, but I just think it's something about just, I think it's a psyop. I think it's something to do with, it's not music. It has nothing to do with music. It's something to do with the church of celebrity. It has something to do with worshiping avatars. It has nothing to do with fucking music. Calling that a music festival is like calling the Pentagon a house tent.
Exactly. Or Horse With No Name, a Neil Young song.
Yeah.
And the other thing is Nut Pods. I drank some kind of coffee called Nut Pods that I found at Kroger yesterday. Yeah. I was out of cold brew and got some Nut Pods because I thought it would give me 10 minutes of content for Cold Brew Got Me, like just to even review it. And it is just really nasty stuff.
What is a nut pod even? It's a coffee?
It's called Nut Pods Cold Brew, but it's Nut Pods is their patented creamer, but their patented creamer is just some kind of greasy coconut milk guar gum mess. I mean, I looked it up. I mean, it's like it says Nut Pods, you know, they're just like Nut Pods, like it's a mysterious substance, but you can look in the ingredients. Yeah. And it's just a creamer
that decided to brew its own
fucking
coffee.
Nasty. Yeah, it's anyway, just I mean, I don't want to put them out of business or anything, but watch out.
The show has that ability.
Careful, so. Careful, Chris. Careful with the power you wield.
Watch out. You know, watch out. That's it. And that's I don't know if that covers it.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know anybody who went to Coachella this year.
Bay did. Producer Bay went.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. They did go to Coachella. I haven't talked to them since they went, though.
Yeah. We got to ask.
We got to ask how it went. But for the most part, it was pretty quiet. Felt like.
I mean, it's dying a slow death at this point. Like the interest has began to wane ever since. Like you know, it came back from the pandemic. We were like and then the last couple of years, it's taken more and more time for it to like sell out. And I think it's just because it's. I don't know. It's
have you guys been?
Lost its luster. Yeah, I used to go when I was in my 20s. I used to go a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And was it fun back then?
Fucked up. Dude, I was just getting so fucked up and like getting just wrecked in the sun that I didn't know what was going on. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I can remember like three performances per festival. Like, I remember being in front for Jay-Z and I peed my pants because I didn't want to go. I was at the front of the stage and I didn't want to go all the way to the porta potties.
Oh, yeah.
So I just pissed my pants.
Sure.
I was like, this is one of my favorite rappers. And I'm like, and I before that I watched At the Drive-In play. Yeah. But anyway, look,
but
for me, like once the lineup started being like me being less and less familiar and also just like the cost of it too. Like when I was in my 20s and like, I only had to like, I lived at home with my mom. I could put all of my like, you know, work money to be like, I'm going to fucking Coachella and then I don't have insurance. You know, like that was my life.
I did that stuff. It was just different. You know, it was like Lollapalooza. You know, you go to Lollapalooza in the 90s and I don't remember anything. I remember just like barfing and, and seeing glimpses of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Right.
I was so hungover. I was too hungover. I shouldn't have been allowed to buy tickets to anything because they always were. Anyway.
Yeah. So much of my life prior to age 35 was spent like too hungover to enjoy anything. I was just like, oh. Feel fucking terrible.
Always. Like, all the time. All, me too.
Yeah.
Even I went all the way to my 41. I went all
and
the
now
way to 40.
Sometimes when I like eat too much, like too late or something, I'm like reminded of that feeling.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, oh, wow. This could be a whole different life.
My oldest enemy.
Yeah.
Theitis.
Jesus.
I went to the Tibetan Freedom Concert in 1998.
Oh, shit.
You know, which was like, should have been like the greatest day ever, you know, but I spent the whole day barfing. I mean, I saw little bits of the Beastie Boys, and but I mean, most of the time I was just like kidding myself, like go to an all day festival. I mean, that's not going to be about music. That's just going to be about, you know, getting fucked up, like so fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, in the sun. Yeah. The sun, you know, taking it, somas.
I know about the sun.
Taking the somas, somas,
dude, getting ripped off nut pods, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, they hadn't invented nut pods. It was all Folgers. You couldn't even get coffee at the fucking. That's, things have gotten better that way. That's the only thing. Like at the refreshment, whatever you call it, snack bar or whatever, at the concert. That's better.
Right. Right.
You never get a cup of coffee back then. People laugh in your face. You want a beer or a beer?
Right.
You know?
Or you want kombucha and whiskey.
Yeah. Mixed, you want together? Orange drink?
Yeah.
You want orange drink, a hot dog, or a beer, you idiot? I was wondering if you had any coffee. Get out of here! Get him! Get him, coffee!
It's a fucking cop!
We sell cartons of cigarettes. Brass knuckles.
Yeah. And hula hoops.
Sawdust. One.
Yeah.
For some reason.
But they're gel caps. They look like pills.
To deal with the puke.
I got coffee at a Bruce Springsteen concert, and I just think that was funny. I got that when I went to Bruce Springsteen like a few years ago, and I was like, this is an improvement. I think maybe the universe does bend toward justice.
Yeah, it does. Maybe we were born to run.
But seriously, like, you try and get coffee. Imagine the coffee you would get at a Bruce Springsteen concert in like 1978.
It's not coffee. Yeah.
We brewed it this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It was really for us.
3 months ago.
Let me check the Bun-O-Matic.
Yeah.
There's piss in
there. The somehow, Bun-O-Matic.
For some reason.
Yep.
You ever drink coffee at a movie?
No.
I just went to a movie last night.
But did you drink coffee?
Some lady who was there did, and she said she put popcorn salt in it by mistake.
Oh, God.
Hello. That's some content.
Hello, I asked for her number. Quick.
We talked a little bit about that. I said popcorn salt. That's crazy. And then then there's a lull, and then I, you know,
yeah. How'd it taste?
Oh man, that must have been nuts. Just now? You did it just now?
No way.
Oh my god! Like just now? Oh wow.
Someone behind you is like, shh. Hey, she said she put fucking popcorn salt in the coffee, okay?
What, I'm not supposed to react to that?
Oh, my God.
No one gives a shit about this movie.
But I like coffee. I love movies. I don't like mixing them. I've tried it multiple times, and I've never had a good experience with coffee at a movie.
Well, it's nighttime.
Yeah. Right. Or you're just used to drinking. For me, it's like I'm always used to drinking a cold soda, like in a movie theater. So I think it's that. The warmness. Like
popcorn and soda.
Try an iced coffee next time, Jack.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's also not nice to the people behind the counter sometimes because it's not really like a popular thing. So every time I've ever seen anybody order coffee at the theater, they say, we got to brew a new pot. And, you know, I feel like it's like a dividing line between, you know, nice people and not nice people. And, last night there was a guy at the theater who ordered coffee and they said, like they always say, they're like, well, we're going to have to brew a pot then. And he was like, that's fine. Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sounds better.
Doesn't bother me in the least.
Yeah, go ahead and brew a pot.
Well, it just takes a long time. That's okay. I have time.
Yeah, it's just a lot of work. Cool. Sounds like
it's going to be really tasty.
It's like when you work at you work at some restaurant that serves like normal food and then a milkshake for some reason, and someone orders a milkshake. Yeah, you want to fucking murder them, you know?
Yeah.
No,
a milkshake?
You fuck.
At this fucking Chinese restaurant, you piece of shit. My uncle put that on the menu. You know where the ice cream is? The fucking walk-in. It's on the top. We haven't made
ice
cream.
You don't want the milkshake.
Where does it say milkshake on there? Ah, fuck.
Ah, it's still there. That's an old man.
Oh, sounds like God, you were a good waiter like I was, Chris.
Oh, man. I was good, but, you know, I would go make the damn milkshake. But goddamn, people are fucking monsters. They'll be like, yeah, I'll have one. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll have a milkshake.
You try and communicate all the ways. Yeah.
I don't care what shelf the fucking ice cream's on. I want one.
Yeah.
And I want it now. God damn it.
Go stand on a stool or something.
Yep.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hit a couple news stories. We'll be right back.
Classic. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump,
Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. Just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back.
We're back. Hashtag stand on a stool.
Stand on a stool. I don't care.
Hashtag stand on a stool.
Stand on a stool.
All right.
Hashtag Neil Young. Neil Young.
So just a quick roundup of some Trump news.
Yeah.
So we don't get too bogged down here. And because we don't have ton of time, we'll just rip through fly this through shit.
All right, where do we start? He's spent over $76 million in legal fees, and the main account that he's been using to fund all this is down to only a couple million. So people are like, oh, he's gonna have to start using the RNC's money. But I feel like so many of these headlines are written in a way to be like, they're coming home to roost soon. It's like he's always gonna find fucking millions of dollars in the couch cushions.
Shit has been coming home to roost for fucking 8 years.
I know.
This is the one that's going to get him, Chris.
So fucking yeah, this Chris is and Maggie Haberman.
Your
then
father
Maggie,
went out for cigarettes.
Then Maggie Haberman tunes out. Well, I think he's pretty upset. I don't know. I know him pretty well.
Yes, he's upset.
He's really upset this time.
Abject
he seems so mad at me. He's that's really, a news story.
Yeah.
He seems so mad at me. He's like, you should have seen the look. Ugh. He was being such a bitch to me.
His self-tanner was just dripping off of his chin. It was
someone
wild.
Should make a fucking TV show about the Maggie Haberman-Trump romance.
Oh, wow.
That would be a great
fucking
with show.
AI, it could be done pretty quickly.
If I knew how to make a show, but then you just figured it out for me.
Yeah. Just put it in a co-pilot and be like, give me a three-act structured romance
Haberman
rom-com script.
This is what I'm going to put in. Haberman, Trump, love, murder.
Okay,
and that's I'm gonna one let way to AI do it. And hang gliding. Let's see what
there
happens.
There you go.
Hang gliding is what was gonna be my next suggestion.
Yeah, and whatever, it doesn't matter. Sky's the limit. Let AI figure it out.
The sky is the limit with hang gliding.
And speaking of limited consequences, there's a lot of reports about how Trump's like violated his gag order like at least 10 times in the last month. And like prosecutors are like, oh, are you going to fucking do it? Is like contempt of court a fucking real thing? It doesn't seem like it is. So that's a big shock.
Turns out gag orders are suggestions.
Yeah, merely. Yes. Like, Yeah, like traffic signals and
gag suggestions.
But then also his polling numbers continue to trend downward with independents, but we're still 7 months out, so we'll see what's happening. There's that. But the real fun part is Jesse Waters recently. He had to cope hard with the fact that Trump just looks so withered in court. Like, and there's all this talk about he's going to be fucking in charge of that courtroom. And he's just been like, tiny little sleepy like Rip Van Winkle in the courtroom. So, you know, Jesse Waters with his gigantic brain was like, I actually have a counterpoint as to why Donald Trump like fucking shouldn't be having to stand trial. And here it is.
But the guy needs exercise. He's usually golfing. And so you're going to put a man who's almost 80 sitting in a room like this on his butt for all that time. It's not healthy. You know how big of a health nut I am. He needs sunlight and he needs activity. He needs to be walking around. He needs action. It's really cruel and unusual punishment to make a man do that. And anytime he moves, they threaten to throw him in prison.
Yeah, cruel and unusual punishment is making being unhoused a crime. That's cruel if we're talking about the Eighth Amendment here. But I get it. But I guess Trump is too old then, is what you're saying?
Yeah,
he's too old to be sitting there.
They're trying I had this thought when the reports first started coming in that he kept like falling asleep and farting up the courtroom, that like he might be trying to project an air of incompetence, like the legal sense of incompetence, like incompetent to stand trial sort of thing.
Right.
Because that's an old mafia tactic. Trump is trained in the like mafia, you know, art of doing battle from, you know, his early days. And like, that's what the mafia would always do whenever like a capo or a don would like stand trial. They would frequently be like, oh yeah, he's lost his marbles out
called
here.
Called malingering, I think is the legal term. Yeah. Just
yeah, but like that was
pretendo.
Uncle June did that in Sopranos.
Yeah. Junior Corrado Soprano.
Wearing a bathrobe. There's that famous one. I think it was Vincent Gigante or used to wear the bathrobe. This is mob facts shit. Remember we talked about mob facts?
Yeah, that channel? Facts. Watching that like New York mob footage YouTube channel?
I watch most of my fucking... I'm watching footage of fucking mobsters faking being sane on the streets of New York in the 1970s. Grainy footage, baby.
Yeah. I know malingering when I see it, man.
I've seen more capos.
And this is it.
I've seen more capos in worn out robes shuffling down the street than
I see more capos than a guitar shop. I guess we call that a capo. That's for my music heads out there. But like, I guess it is funny because like truly to fit the standard of like incompetency to stand trial, you have to show mentally incompetent to stand trial. But it's like, are they trying to thread the most elegant needle of like too incompetent to stand trial, but competent enough to be the most powerful person on earth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird line to try and draw where you're like, this guy just needs to be out running around like a golden retriever. He needs sunlight and like a yard that he can run around in.
He needs golf.
Yeah.
Or he'll
Jesse
die.
Jesse Waters, man. Jesse Waters went to Trinity too, by the way. Oh. Trinity College in Hartford, where I went. And so did Tucker Carlson.
Classmates?
Wow.
They turn out a diverse group.
Yeah, Yeah. What a fucking combo. Tucker Carlson, Jesse Waters, Crofton.
Tucker was my classmate, and I knew Tucker in college.
Wow.
That's true. I've told you that before.
Yeah.
But but I never knew Jesse Waters, you know, much younger, but same, you know, I mean, I just think the colleges, wait, I don't know, they should have
you tell us you were Tucker Carlson's classmate? Like, it must have been in passing. Yeah, yeah.
I've definitely told you. I knew him to say hi. He was not like super well known on campus or anything. He was just seemed like an average rich kid, you know. Like most of the kids who went to Trinity were like people who are just stopping off at college because it was the next step to whatever job their dad had sort of set up for him. I ended up there because my college counselor was just like, this is the best school you got into. So I was like, I was just 18 and drunk and I didn't know. So I was like, okay, I'll go here.
Yeah.
You know, and then I went there and I was like, what is this? You know, why isn't he rowing boats?
It's like fucking
do
work.
They know about boat motors?
Why is the main thing you have to do before you get rich is row boats around?
What is kind of weird. Yeah. You ever heard of an onboard? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the weird culture of the rich people, you know, where you have to go to college and smoke pot and row boats and then you get to get your dad's job and then you just go, you know.
Yeah. Manual labor. As leisure activity?
Yeah, it's just weird. Anyway, it's a weird culture, and Tucker was just another He had a signet ring, I remember. He just looked like a rich. Yeah, like all those kids had gold rings with their initials on them. I just remember that was something that I didn't have, you know, so I noticed.
Right.
You notice, it was fun to be there because I got all this anger, you know, that I kept with me, you know, for the rest of my life. And that's where it fed into, you know, Fugazi and all the things I love, like ended up being like things I got sort of channeled to because I had to try and be a punk rocker at Trinity College, which is like completely insane. That's like not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to art school where there's other punk rockers. You're not supposed to try to be a punk rocker at Trinity College. But that's what I did.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. Like, you know, what are you doing here? You know, I'm like, I'm doing my, I'm taking it down from the inside. I'm taking it down from the inside.
Because I got no place else to go.
You're paying, but you're paying for it, you know, because my dad just gave me, anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I knew Tucker in college. He was a jerk. I found out from other people who knew him better that he was racist. Then his dad used to send him John Birch Society stuff in the mail, which he would read aloud in his dorm room. So I look at all these kids as abused children, really. I mean, you look at kids, but, you know, Tucker Carlson's a kid. All these people are stuck in their, whatever their parents told them, you know, that's
And also, like, the story about, like, you hear about his mother, like, leaving him at a young age.
Yeah, she was, like, a liberal. Yeah, she went off to be, like, a hippie, so he hates hippies and stuff. What a fucking, I mean, what a moron. I mean, like, he's like, I hate hippies. Like, I mean, like come on, fucking really?
Especially the one who fucked my mom.
Yeah.
Yo, that's embarrassing, man.
But I mean, like, can't you get over that? Like, I'm going to spend my whole life trying to avenge my mother's honor against the hippies.
Right.
I mean, okay, why don't you just fucking settle down?
what about that? What
if you fucking settling the fuck down?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that Jesse Waters, I just think those institutions like Harvard that turn out like Tom Cotton and stuff, why are these considered our best institutions? You know, Trinity's considered this great school and it's just this diploma mill for scumbags.
Yeah. It just has cultural momentum for being like finishing schools for the elite, and then from there we're like, no, that's what we're trying to aspire to.
That's a good one. The U.S. News and World Report says that's a good one.
Yeah, and if you're turning out fucking people like Jesse Waters and Tucker Carlson, you know, you might want to look into, like, what your culture is. But, of course, there's no...
They don't care at this point.
It would actually be good, like, if somebody actually released a second magazine that was, like, U.S. News and World Report's, like, college rankings, but you actually looked at the shitheads that they had churned out.
Held
them accountable for, like, the worst people who they actually... Yeah. I mean, Harvard would be a fucking disaster. Like, some of the people that Harvard's put out there...
That's a good Behind the Bastards episode.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the worst of Harvard, the worst of...
Biggest Bastards. Biggest... Yeah,
contributors. Or else, we could do a magazine. We could do a magazine, Jack. If you want to put up the money, I'll do it. Well, U.S.
I mean, in my experience,
kablow.
Truth and World kablow.
I'll be in charge of the editorial stuff. You just give me the money.
Yeah.
In my experience, magazines are a great investment that never go.
They're coming back just like vinyl.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, vinyl is coming back.
Vinyl really did. Yeah, magazines, not so much.
All right. Should we talk about the Voyager? I want to talk about the Voyager.
Yeah.
This is a nice small victory for us probe heads. So the Voyager, just for our younger listeners, launched in 1977, became the first human-made object to venture into interstellar space decades later. I don't think I realized how rare it is for anything to come from or go into interstellar space. Like, you know, we have our solar system. That's where basically everything that we have observed up close has come from. Like, there was that big deal about Oumuamua recently because it was one of the first interstellar, if not the first interstellar objects, like something that came from outside of our solar system that we actually observed.
I love that thing.
Yeah, that thing's really cool.
Cool as shit.
It was going so fast. They were like, wait, that can't have come from inside our solar system. It's like flying from outside. What's happening?
Take me with you.
Still haven't given a great explanation on that. But anyway, we sent a spaceship in 1977 that has done the opposite. It has left our solar system. It has traveled into interstellar space. And it's not just a probe designed to relay scientific information. It also contains like a, basically like a mixtape for aliens.
Yeah.
Like it's actually a gold-plated record. And the tracks include everything from an Australian Aborigine song to Chuck Berry to someone named, a work by somebody named Johnny Bagpipes, I believe. No, I'm sorry. To bamboo flutes, to Bach, Beethoven, Chuck Berry. And it holds also a 3-paragraph letter written by Jimmy Carter, who relayed our desire to join a community of galactic civilizations, which seems like kind of, I don't know, quaint.
I like, yeah, like how the stuff, some of it's dated, you know, like a rotary phone.
Right.
And a community of galactic civilizations makes more sense when you realize that they launched it 3 weeks after Star Wars came out.
That's like, funny.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, he signs off, President Jimmy Carter, may the force be with you.
Right. Oh, yeah. Look, where's the beef t-shirt?
It. Yeah, yeah. But so Voyager 1 launched, Voyager 2 launched soon after. Pretty massive undertaking when you realize that like the computer that is on board, that is like controlling all of this stuff, sending the information back to us, has like far less computing power than like a modern day key fob for like a car. Like that is the level of computational firepower that is on this thing. And it's still out beyond the edges of our solar system, still transmitting back to us. But basically last year, it stopped speaking coherently. And NASA was like, I don't know. Like, it seems like it just had like a stroke of some sort, because it's like, it's sending back utter gibberish, alternating ones and zeros instead of binary code.
I remember that when that first came out, the like conspiracies around it were like, it's happening, dude. Someone got a hold of the Voyager. And
someone got a hold of the Voyager and they're like texting us.
They're trying to tell, but they don't know binary. So they look so dumb right now.
They're like, this album sucks. That's what they're messaging back to us.
Yeah. But what do you say? Your theory? You got a theory?
Yeah, I was actually going to. I didn't realize other people had thought that. I was going to say that, like, it's just got intercepted by aliens and they're just, like, trying to text us. They're like, yeah, what does this
what
thing
do? What
does
that button do? Yeah.
But anyways, they figured it out. It was, like, some corruption of the computer's memory. So they fixed it. They actually, like, fixed a 40-something, 47-year-old computer that is around 15 billion miles away. And like decorrupted the memory. And now it is once again sending messages back that take 22.5 hours to even reach us because they're so far away.
That's got to be a great gig, huh?
To be the computer
I don't know,
programmer
it's gonna
for
take
that?
A day to get there. So what? I'm going to go sleep in my car in the parking lot if that's cool.
Right.
Just wake me up when the signal comes back. You know, I'm actually go home if we know it's 22 and a half hours between things.
It is going to stop. It's going to reach its limit to be able to communicate back to Earth in 2025. So we're at the end of its lifespan, because basically the power source that is steering the satellite, you know, the thing that is communicating back and forth to us, like the thing that's required to point their communication dishes towards Earth, will lose its power.
I think you're referring to the gas engine.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, this thing was launched in 1977.
Yeah, it's a lawnmower engine.
Should have had leaded gas, probably would have gone longer.
But there's this Guardian article about this that just points out that, like, they will outlive the pyramids. They'll probably outlive us. They'll probably outlive the planet Earth and will be the only record of our existence. I mean, assuming that we don't launch a bunch more of these, but...
Yeah, shouldn't we update that? Like, I get, like, shout out Carl Sagan for putting that together.
What is the return on investment, though, Miles? That is the question.
Right. I feel like the people of the other intergalactic communities should at least know about, I think you should leave, you know, and some of the comedy that
important.
We've had on this planet, too. Just we also have fun, too. It's not just music, you know, we do dumb shit, too.
It does feel like, the amount that you were able to fit onto a gold-plated record is not probably not enough for people. Like, we probably need to updates. Do another one of these.
We need to do updates, and that should be at the same place where you can get a fucking CAT scan.
Yes, we should send a CAT scan.
And a smog test and a goddamn, whatever, space ATM. Probe updates.
Right.
Send new space probes with your music in them. And then you don't really send them, though, because you just can't. You obviously can't, but you take people's money and you take their music and then you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Put it in the dumpster out back and say you launched it.
Send your album to the aliens.
It. Oh, yeah, I launched your demo.
Yeah, you can, but you're also the recording facility, too. It's like, we also can record the demo here, too, man.
Oh, yeah, we do all that.
We do it all, man. I got back end. I got it all, man. You don't even need an instrument, man. Mm-hmm. Just hop in the booth. Just get it out, man. I'll send it right up to space, man.
Aliens are going to love your demos.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What'd you say?
Have a hard drive that is like just traveling into deep intergalactic space, and you can like upload people's albums onto it. Be like, upload your album to eternity.
Yeah,
right.
That's how Jay-Z got signed. You didn't know that?
Yeah, that's right.
Just give
What's
me
the
that?
Genre you do? It's called Krung Step. Yeah, it's Krung Bin, but dubstep.
You want a CAT scan?
Yeah, we got it all.
Chris Crofton, pleasure as always having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Thanks, so fun.
Yeah, where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Well, please come see me and Neil Hamburger. I'm so thrilled. I did a little tour with him in the fall, and it was the most fun I ever had. And I'll be out there selling my book, The Advice King Anthology, and signing them and reading from it a little bit, playing some music too. So that'll be in, as I said, like the 15th to the 19th in St. Paul, Sioux Falls, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis, I think. So yeah, come out and see me, Zeitgang. Please, I love it when you guys come. I love it. You know, Zeitgang people come and they say Zeitgang, and it's always Zeitgang. Fun. It's Zeitgang. Always fun, you know. So yeah, come out and see me and Greg, and Greg's always amazing, and I mean Neil. And then besides that, go on, listen to Cold Brew Got Me Like. It's gotten pretty deep recently and interesting, I think. I talk a lot about, you know, it started out being about Bigfoot, and now it's just inevitably turned to, there's just a lot going on that it's kind of impossible not to talk about. So I think the Cold Brew Got Me Like has gotten pretty fucking good. New episode out today. And then besides that, you know, follow me on Instagram and what do you call it? Twitter. At the Crofton Show.
Great follow. Go listen to Cold Brew Got Me Like. Chris, is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Yes, and I went and saw it last night. It's the Judy Sill documentary. Judy Sill, musician from the early 70s, who J-U-D-E-E, Sill, S-I-L-L, one of the original signings to Asylum Records by David Geffen. He started Asylum Records and signed like Eagles and fucking... you know, Linda Ronstadt and Jackson Brown and all these stuff, all those people that became huge. And then he signed Judy Sill was the first person he signed, but she didn't become big because her music was kind of like too weird a little bit, but it's really caught on now with younger people. Like, you know, it's sort of gotten its due, but she died of a heroin overdose in like, North Hollywood or Glendale or something in 1979. And this documentary called Judy Sill, something or other, shit. I can't remember the name of the damn documentary, but I saw it last night and I saw it in the theater and I think it's streaming as well, but it's called I'll figure it out.
Lost Angel. The Genius of Judy Sill.
Totally great. They had access to her diaries. It was at the Belcourt Theater here in Nashville. So they had the director. One of the directors was there afterward for Q&A. And he talked about they found her diaries. It's very heart. It's a crazy story. She was abused by her stepfather. She ran away from home. She became a burglar. She became a heroin addict. She went to reform school and learned how to play church organ. And then she recovered and had these two albums come out and they didn't sell really. And then she kind of didn't know what to do because she had this arc. And I think that's relatable for entertainment. It was relatable for me where you think she basically thought being famous would make her feel better. She had grown up so rough, you know, and not only did she not get that, she had a taste of it. She opened for all these big artists and she did a BBC Old Grey Whistle Test. If you want to go look at her, watch her play this song, The Kiss, on Old Grey Whistle Test on BBC. YouTube. She's a fantastic artist. She was just sort of ahead of her time or out of her time and just an interesting thing. Like, what do you do when your dream comes true and it doesn't save you, you know? And it's a great, great, great documentary. And so that's my piece of media.
Amazing.
That I liked.
That sounds great. Chris, yeah, it's totally worth some seeing. Of the best documentary recommendations. I highly recommend you guys go check that out.
Sorry, Judy Sill, just her in your life musically is a nice addition. And I had not heard of her until a few years ago.
Nice. Miles, where can people find you? Is there work in media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, find me at Miles of Gray on the Twitter or Instagram, all that kind of shit. Find Jack and I on the basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got mad boosties as the NBA playoffs begin and our lives begin to end, I guess, so to speak. And also find me talking about 90 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra on 420 Day Fiance. Tweet I like is from Alec Karakatsanis at Equality Alec tweeted, "It's interesting how happily armed government, quote, law enforcement agents carry out the request of university administrators to enforce trespassing laws compared to how they might carry out a request by workers to enforce wage theft laws." That reveals a lot. I think we've seen a lot with the Columbia University clear out that happened over the weekend. But yeah.
So fucking rough.
Yeah. But it's nice to see now, like, it's continue, like, there's so many other college campuses now that have, like, become active and, you know, professors joining in solidarity, like,
and that fucking
students.
Rules. Yes. Yeah, we talk really about nice. That on the pod. Yeah. On Cold Brew got me, like, quite a bit. I mean, I've never been seen such outrageous, just like the tweets I'm seeing where people are smartly saying, you know, like, they've blown up every single university in Gaza.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is protests on campuses.
Right.
Against
peaceful
that.
Protests.
You know, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's all the discourse.
And the boomer generation, they were used to be all about that free speech on campus. What happened?
Amen. Until Reagan hit with that money hose.
We went to a protest, then we got stoned. And
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, but then I got a mortgage.
That's right.
And you're like, oh, okay. Well.
Tweet I've been enjoying is, Gabriella Bluestone on Twitter, G_Bluestone, tweeted a picture from Ivanka Trump's Instagram of her and Jared with the caption, "Strums of heartstrings blend with the wise wind's hum, a verse on the breeze where the endless roads run. In this quiet kingdom of stone and sun, her spirit's verse is a melody spun." And so this person on Twitter was like, Google was like, where the fuck is that from? That sucks. And it's from nowhere. That is an original Ivanka Trump banger.
No way.
She wrote. Yes. And like hell in the comments, someone was like, oh my God, Ivanka, that is so beautiful. Where is that from? And she was like, I wrote it myself. And they were like, wow.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
She straight up. She's just a poet. Goddamn.
Goddamn, the fucking Dead Poets Society or whatever the name of Taylor Swift's
tortured department.
Yeah, it's a golden age for horrible poetry.
Golden age for poems.
It's a golden age for subpar poetry.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes,
where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
This is, I found this album. It's like a compilation of like Japanese, like reggae adjacent music from the late 70s and 80s. And like, if you're familiar with like Japanese city pop, like from the 80s, like this is sort of in that vein, but like a light take on like reggae kind of like arrangements. This track is called Tsukigage no Nagisa, which means a moonlit shore. And the artist is Miki, M-I-K-I, Hirayama, H-I-R-A-Y-M-A. And it's just like a really, it just sounds like this like surreal elevator music version of like a reggae ballad, but in Japanese, it's kind of a trippy track. So check that out. It's from trippy the album track. Called Tokyo Rhythm, R-I-D-D-I-M.
That sounds fucking cool.
That sounds
out there. That sounds fucking cool. That sounds better than fucking America.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you mean Neil Young, man? Hey, don't disrespect Neil Young.
It's hard to say. Could be either of them.
If that sounds cool to you, you can check it out because we'll be linking off through it on the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.